Support for The Andrew Haynes Show is brought to you by LiveSource, the premier app for auctions at live events. LiveSource is an online auction and raffle platform that allows your fans and supporters to bid and buy from their phones and computers from anywhere. LiveSource cannot be simpler or more effective, which is why more than 300 professional and collegiate sports teams and thousands of charities and athletes utilize their services to generate revenue and collect data. If you sign up with LiveSource now, you will benefit from their lowest possible pricing and they'll waive their upfront fees. You can email them at hello@livesourceapp.com. That's hello, H-E-L-L-O, at livesourceapp.com. In today's episode of The Andrew Haynes Show, we sat down with John Greenberg, the president of the Milwaukee Admirals. John, unlike a lot of people in sports, has spent nearly his entire career in one city. A graduate of Marquette High and the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, John worked with Milwaukee Brewers in PR for 18 years. And in 2005, he transitioned into a role as the president of the Milwaukee Admirals of the AHL and has been there ever since. Here's his story. We hope you enjoy.
Every live event is filled with moments of excitement. LiveSource is a new game-changing app that allows you to create auctions instantly during these moments, as the crowd's excitement is at a fevered pitch.
Second triple of the game.
Imagine, after spectacular moments, you could remove any item from the field of play and place it into a live auction in less than a minute while the game is still on. Imagine the fans in attendance bidding on and winning one-of-a-kind memorabilia and experiences from that event while the event is still going on. LiveSource handles the heavy lifting so that there are no limits on what can be sold or when it can be sold. Auctions can be created in less than 60 seconds, at which time the app immediately notifies fans to start bidding, determines the winning bidder, and arranges payment and delivery moments later. Excite your audience with highly shareable moments. Motivate more fans to attend your event, increase revenue. With LiveSource, it's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
Well, we're back again. Thank you, LiveSource, for the partnership. It's been great. And anyone out there, if you are not using LiveSource and you're a team or organization, you definitely got to check it out. It doesn't cost the team any money. It's a great way to stay connected in the off season or during crazy times like right now with fans. So check out livesourceapp.com. Today, I've got somebody from the hockey world. I've kind of been in the baseball world the last couple shows, it seems like. So I'm glad that I've got a great guest today, John Greenberg. He is the president of the Milwaukee Admirals in the American Hockey League. How's it going, John?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, thanks. Thanks for joining me. I was like, man, I need to connect with some of the hockey guys out there because it seems like the last month has been nothing but baseball. So and now that hockey's kind of getting going throughout the country and rolling, I thought it would be great. So thank you for joining me. I've been to your arena many times when my teams would play the Milwaukee Wave, and I'd always go have fun, and then we would always get spanked every game. Like in my whole career, I've never beaten Milwaukee up there. So, but it's a fun time. I love the city. It's always cold when I come up in the winter, but definitely the downtown area and, you know, around the arena is really nice.
Yeah, for sure. We got to get you back during the summer. At some point, you know, I always tell our players, when they're here, you know, they get here in September, late September, and they're here till we finish playing, you know, could be June, but generally sometime late April, early May. You guys got to come back in the summer. You guys made it through the winter. You got to go through, you know, summer in Milwaukee is an absolute blast, and I hope that you can come up and enjoy some of that sometime.
Yeah, well, I always talk about this story up in Milwaukee. We were playing up there, and so my family, we would always travel to the away games. So The kids, they wanted to stay at the hotel and get pizza. So my wife and I and our GM at the time, we were like, let's go have a steak somewhere. And we found this place called, I think it's Carnivores. And, you know, it was like almost like a $200 steak. They brought like a certificate out and, you know, all this stuff. But it was awesome. It was like a little 4 ounce filet or something. But fast forward about a year later, I was doing a trade with Milwaukee, and I negotiated a dinner for my wife and I as part of the trade.
Nice. Yeah,
that's awesome. At Carnivores. So, that's kind of my fun Milwaukee story, but, no, I love that area.
Yeah, it's a great spot. And, you know, there's a lot of great restaurants and things like that here, and Carnivores certainly, at the top of the list, if you're looking for a great steak place, that is the top of the list there.
Is it good? So that was a good spot.
Yep.
I mean, it was the most expensive steak I ever had. I know that. But no, it was good. So, you know, John, walk us through, you know, a little bit of, you know, where you're from, kind of growing up, and kind of how you got involved in the sports business.
Yeah. Well, I actually didn't have to wander too far my whole career. Has been here in Milwaukee, and I'm kind of the aberration. You know, a lot of people in sports have had to move around to find that job, find that opportunity, and I've been very lucky to have them happen for me here. I started my sports career pretty much at the bottom of the food chain. I was a bat boy for the Milwaukee Brewers for 3 years, so shining shoes and hanging long. You know, doing all that kind of stuff was my foray into sports. And it was an unbelievable experience to be able to do that. And it led to an internship in the Brewers PR department when I realized that I couldn't stay as a bat boy forever. You know, I was 18 years old at that point, and it's like, God, I really need to figure out kind of how to move forward here. And I knew I wanted to stay in sports, and you know, I don't know if you could hear the dog, but that's our team dog is in the office today, and he's
nice.
He's very enthusiastic at the moment.
Well, I've had some guests where, like, you know, because everybody's, you know, working from home a lot, so that you have a lot of different things. But I had somebody, a cat jumped on like the back. I thought it was funny. So it's all good. We can have guests, you know.
Sure, absolutely. So, you know, I had an opportunity to become an intern in the Brewers PR department. When I was in college at UW-Milwaukee, I had gone to college to become a broadcaster. That was my dream, was to have that be Bob Uecker's partner someday. And early on in my time in college, I realized that that wasn't the right direction for me. It wasn't the path that I really, you know, thought I would love when I moved forward, and switched to journalism, and was fortunate enough to get a job with the Milwaukee Journal back in the late 80s while I was still interning with the Brewers. And tell students that my path is different than any of yours will ever be, because interning now is such a important part of the journey to getting a job in sports. And back when I did it, nobody else applied. So I
you got selected. You were at the top of the list.
Semester of credit. And then I did 5 more semesters as a volunteer, just riding my journey through college to kind of stay there, because I really loved working for the Brewers at that point. And time at the newspaper was – you know, I kind of looked at that as an internship, but I was getting paid for it, and gave me a sense of what the world of journalism was like. And one day, it's amazing that we were talking about the wave earlier, but one day I walked into the journal sports department, and I happened to be the person who walked through the door at that particular second. They said, "We need you to go cover the wave game." And I said, okay. And I said, "Why? What happened?" And whoever was supposed to cover it got sick and couldn't cover the game. And didn't have anybody else. And I said, "Okay, I don't know anything else. I don't know anything about soccer. Other than you kick the ball in the net. That's the extent of my knowledge of sport." And said, "Don't worry. When you go over there, their PR director will take care of you. He'll meet you there and he'll make sure you understand what's going on. His name is Peter Wilt, and Peter certainly is extraordinarily well known in the world of soccer.
Oh yeah.
United States. And you know, Peter sat next to me throughout that game and kind of told me what was going on. And then after the game was over, went down to the locker room and pointed out the right players that I should talk to. And I always tell people I was self-sufficient enough to ask my own questions. So I didn't
You didn't need those hand fed.
Exactly. And so I went back and I wrote my story. And it was a big day for the Wave. It was the first time they had ever sold out a game. So it was a big deal for their ownership group. And I wrote the story. It ended up on the front page of the sports section. And I was like, wow, that's really cool. And then at that point, it was really the light bulb went on that I really want to do what Peter does. You know, that advocate, you know, being an advocate for your company, that kind of thing, and being able to do it in sports was really the dream. And so I realized I was doing that with the Brewers, you know, obviously as an intern. And so when I graduated at UWM, I was fortunate enough to have two job offers, one at the newspaper and one at the with the Brewers. And I'm glad I chose wisely. You know, obviously we know what happened in the world of journalism over the years. And
it's been tough, that's for sure.
Yeah, PR. I started as a publicity assistant, made my way up to assistant director. And then in 1994, during the baseball strike of all things, I got promoted to the director of media relations when we had some departmental reshuffling going on, and did that for 10 years, really 11 years. And then got the opportunity to become the president of the Admirals because the owner of the Admirals now is one of the largest investors in the Brewers. And he, his name is Harris Turr, and he was very well aware of my work. I always like to tell the story about how I almost had him thrown out of the ballpark the first time I ever met him.
I'm thinking you didn't know who he was.
I had no clue who he was. And there was this area in County Stadium, and it was right in front of the press box, and the left side of it was for stringers and TV people and things like that. And then the right side of it was for ownership. And I looked down on the left side and I see this young guy sitting down there with a buddy and they've got a beer. And they're just, you know, watching the game. And so I said, can you go find out who that is? And, you know, usually we had people sneak down there every once in a while. They'd leave. And so they come back and the usher comes back and says, oh, that's that person just needs to talk to our TV broadcaster and about a golf tournament they're working on. I said, oh, okay, fine. So sure enough, he does that in between innings and he walks out. And I'm like, okay, that's over with. And all of a sudden he comes down on the other side. Now he's sitting at the ownership side. And I'm like, oh, guy's really got some guts. So I went and got a different usher. So you can go find out what that guy's deal is.
Someone a little more firm.
Yeah. What's going on here? he was sitting over there. Now he's sitting over here. I don't think he belongs up here. So he goes down and talks to the guy and talks to Harris. And he comes back. The usher comes back up and whispers in my ear. He goes, that's one of our new owners. And I said, I'm going to get fired. So on the next Monday morning, I got called into Bud Selig's office, and he had Harris on the speakerphone, and Bud just let me have it. and then it was all over, and he started laughing. Harris was just eating this up on the line. And right. The thing was, like, Harris was my age, so – wow. He was a very young owner, and it was just he tells me today, it's like, oh yeah, you didn't know who I was, so don't worry about it. Anyway, so I came on and I've been here as the Admirals president since 2005, and it's the best decision I could have ever made.
Is he the majority owner of the Admirals?
Yes, he's okay. He's probably, we have three minority owners who have a very small stake.
Okay.
One of which is Mark Atanasio, who's the owner of the Brewers now. So that relationship that we have with the Brewers, Harris is still one of the, you know, he's actually the second largest investor in the Brewers. So we still have quite the relationship with them. And it's a unique relationship. We, you know, their patch, their logo patches on our uniform. They're our jersey sponsor. And so it's really, you know, one team advertising another. It gives them some winter branding, and it's a really good relationship.
Yeah, no, that's definitely cool to have. When you were kind of going through it, what was it about sports? Did you play sports, you know, as a kid, or was it really just that Bat Boy opportunity that kind of, you know, got you kind of, you know, hooked?
Yeah, I always loved sports. I mean, I played, you know, the sports during my childhood. I played baseball, I played basketball, neighborhood stuff. We were always all playing sports competitively, you know, played Little League and played the school sports, but was never good enough. Like I always joke, I was the last guy cut in high school 2 years in a row. And, I realized after the second one, I'd go, that's a sign. My time is over. So, you know, I love sports, and my parents always used to tell me that I'd be downstairs at my grandparents' house in the newspaper. There'd be a newspaper there, and I'd be reading the sports section and looking at this, you know, when I was like 5 years old. And they could tell at that point that, you know, sports was important to me. And I always, you know, used to joke that I would have, you know, whatever opening day was for baseball, suddenly I was always sick. So
can't go to school that day.
Yeah, I got to watch the game on TV, you know, that every year. But, you know, when I was in sixth, I'm a bat boy for the Brewers. I sent a letter to Bud Selig, expressing my interest, and because I didn't know who else to send it to, who else, you know, go right to the top. So I sent it to him, and I still have his response. It's in my scrapbook at home, and told me when I was old enough, I had to be 16 because I had to be able to drive, and when I was old enough that I should reach back out to certain people. And sure enough, when that time came, I did that, and I was lucky enough there was a spot open, and the rest became history.
How old were you when you sent that letter?
Oh, sixth grade. So I was 11 or 12. Yeah.
That's pretty cool though. And so at least, you got a response back, and, you know, we're able to make it. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Very fun. How was that transition, you know, kind of, you know, you're at the major league level, and then on the PR media side to going into being a team president, because obviously there's a lot more, you know, to do. And at the minor league level, there's probably a lot less staff, I would think.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the thing at the major league level is that you're really only solely responsible for your area. So right. I was the PR director. I had a staff of two others plus some interns, you know, and obviously I reported to the vice president of communications, and you know, that was kind of how that hierarchy went. But, you know, coming here, when we first came here, the Admirals were very close to being dead. I mean, the team had been owned by Jane and Lloyd Pettit. Jane, tremendous philanthropist in town. You know, Lloyd in the Hockey Hall of Fame as a broadcaster. They love their Admirals, but they ran it as a more of a philanthropic type of business rather than a straight business. And they both passed away, and the team went into their trust, their family trust. Well, with all of their philanthropy that they do around Milwaukee, I mean, they built the Bradley Center, which obviously had her father's name on it, and they wanted to have those dollars be spent on more philanthropic things rather than the hockey team saving the money. Right.
Yeah.
So as time went on, they were scaling back staff and trying to find new ownership. And we were lucky that Harris came along. It was presented to him because somebody else was supposed to buy it, and it fell through. And, you know, when we came on, there were only four employees. So they're trying to.
It's good and bad. I mean, especially if you're coming in, you can at least build your own staff. But
you can, but it was just shocking.
Yeah.
It was shocking that they were able to pull off what they pulled off with that small of a team.
That's crazy.
So You know, we've really, like you said, we've kind of been able to build from the ground up. You know, we're now at 19 full-time people. You know, on game days, we balloon up to about 50 people to be able to pull off our show. And, you know, it's all the focus when you're doing the PR is the PR. Now, all of a sudden, the focus is everything.
Right.
And, you know, we always talk about how being the minor league team in a major league market gives us advantages in terms of being able to be crazy and have fun and do things that maybe, you know,
yeah, they can.
Major league level, it's got to be a little more proper, and you can't do some of those things. So it's been a really fun challenge to be able to do what we do.
Oh yeah. Well, how was it? You know, like, did you get involved in like sales and things like that as you got into the Admirals, or have you just been kind of that, you know, leader from the top and kind of developing talent?
No, I need to learn how to do everything. Because I wanted to make sure I understood what our people are out there doing. And it is such a small group. I mean, our motto here is everyone sells. So if you're the PR person or the game operations person or the merchandise person, you know, we all have to try and sell tickets, because if there's not butts and seats, the rest of it all really doesn't work. And so, you know, I learned all about the different things we were doing from a ticketing perspective. I'll never forget going on my first corporate sales call. That was with Mike Wojciechowski, who's our VP of Business Development, who this year, when we start playing again, it'll be his 40th season for the Admirals.
With the same team?
Same team, 40 people, 40 years.
Is he full-time or is he?
He's a full-time guy. I mean, he is our corporate sales guy. You know, he's done amazing work, and his relationships with people around town are second to none. I mean, everybody knows Wojo. It was funny because when Marquette hired Steve Wojciechowski to be their men's basketball coach, it was all Wojo this, Wojo that. We all they were talking about our guy.
Hey, wait, so, are you talking about Mike? Yeah.
So he took me on my first sales call, corporate sales call, and I really just wanted to see how it all worked. And, you know, eventually we took the training wheels off and let me go out and do a few on my own. And you know, I learned an enormous amount from him, just like from a hockey perspective. I knew hockey a fair amount, but we're not responsible for players, you know, signing players or anything. Right. Like that. That's all done with our affiliate in Nashville. And but I learned more about the actual game itself in that first year, probably the first two or three months of that first year, by sitting with Phil Whitliff, who was our general manager at the time. And, you know, I'd have a question and he would, you know, you could explain to me patiently was that I was watching after, you know, he's spent his whole life in it. I always joke that I still don't feel comfortable going into the coach's office after the game is over because I'm afraid they're going to ask me what I thought of something.
Right. Hey, look good.
Yeah, look good. Yeah, it's, yeah, the famous the story of that.
That is universal. Yeah. The officials, it's always they bad call.
Right. The most famous thing of that was we played a game against Chicago a bunch of years ago, and we had a post-game concert afterwards with the Dropkick Murphys, which was crazy. We had like 16,000 people there, and it was a night. And we beat Chicago 7-6 in overtime.
Oh, wow.
You know, for a hockey game, that's an enormous amount of goals.
Yeah.
And
great for the fans, I'll tell you that.
It was. We gave them a show, you know, and the concert afterwards and everything else. And we went in the coach's office after, and he's like, so what'd you think of that? And we're like, and Harris and I are just like beyond excited and talking about how great it was and everything else. And he stopped us and he went on a little bit of a tirade about that had choice words that I won't say here, that, about how awful it was and this and that and everything. And I'm like, he would rather have seen us win, you know, 2-1. And play the, you know, have a better game playing defense and stay out of the penalty box and everything else. I go, okay, I get that. I get that from your standpoint. That is what it is. But I will tell you, that was a show right there. And we're going to get people to come back after seeing that. So you know, different approaches for sure.
In a world where people are more aware and plugged in than ever, it's not enough to just have a great product. Consumers are looking for brands they can relate to. That's where Egghead Creative comes in. Everything they do is powered by deepening the connection with your brand. And every time you do business with them, they'll build a bespoke team of highly specialized creatives designed specifically around what you need. For more information, visit eggheadcreativestudio.com. That's eggheadcreativestudio.com. Or follow them on Instagram at Egghead Creative Studio. Now back to the show.
Well, yeah, and you know, from a fan perspective, it definitely, you know, you love those that come down to the wire. And then American fans in any sport, they want a lot of action. So the more goals, the better. And, you know, yeah, any of the coaches and players are like, nah, we'd rather, you know, had that one in the first period. But it's fun. I just love live. I like going to live events. You know, that's my thing. Like, I don't care what level it is, if it's, you know, a minor league team, major league, if I can go live, man, it's just so much fun.
Yeah. And we always tell people, if you come here and see it in person, you'll want to come back.
Yeah. Well, on the level, the AHL level is, I mean, you know, is there like a stat out there? Like, how many of those guys have either been in the NHL or go to the NHL?
Last year in the NHL, there were 89% of the players played in our league at some point in their careers. So we're the world. And, you know, we always tell people when you come to the game, like, we give out rosters for free. You know, that's our, you come through the door, it's got ads on it from sponsors and things like that. But we don't charge you to do that. We always say, you should keep this. You know, when you go home, it's just, you know, it's a piece of paper. But because some of the guys you're going to see in this game tonight are going to be guys who go on to become superstars.
Yeah.
And it's on both teams. So it's not just our guys, which we hope, you know, you support always, but we, you know, we play the affiliates of the Blackhawks and the Red Wings and people like that. These are going to be guys that you're going to hear about for a long time.
Do you guys employ the coaching staff, or is that coming from Nashville as well?
Everything with Nashville. So we're really just about marketing and entertainment.
Okay. Business ops.
Yeah. Business ops, marketing and entertainment. All the hype comes out of Nashville.
Nice. Man, that would be nice to kind of have, you know, independent. You got to do everything. You got to even deal with the player contracts.
Yeah, all that sure. Fun
stuff. It's, you know what? Your background is unique. It's like, I was talking to Bob from Tucson the other day. And yeah. I had him on the show, and, you know, he kind of started out in the play by play and the communication side as well. And, you know, I thought that was interesting because, you know, most of the times you hear it's like somebody from, you know, the sales side or, you know, something like that. So it's kind of cool to just see, you know, different backgrounds making it. But how did you manage to stay in one market your entire like time? Was it just your mindset like, hey, whatever I do, I'm staying here. This is my home. I love it.
Well, I was fortunate enough to be working for the Brewers, whom I, you know, grew up loving. And I was making my way through my career, and I was getting, you know, people were treating me with, probably more respect than I deserved. And I was developing relationships with our media here in town. And it just was a really good fit for me to be here, you know. When I really only have had two or three times in the 34 years that I've been doing this where there were opportunities outside of Milwaukee that were presented to me. And at the when it came down to, you know, really, do I really want to do something outside of here? It came back to, well, I love Milwaukee. I love my hometown. I love the people I work with. My family's all here. And is that really going to be better for me? The answer was always no. And the staying here was always the best fit for me. You know, I have had two opportunities since I've been here for jobs that I was flattered that people thought of me for. But this has been just so much fun that I just don't have any desire to go anyplace else. And Harris has treated me so well that I don't want to leave him. I want to make sure that I make this work for him and that we continue to make the Admirals an important part of the Milwaukee entertainment landscape.
Is your ownership, is it local there, or are they from outside the area?
No, everybody's from here. Nice. You know, that being said, Harris wisely has spent the last 4 months in Florida.
Well, listen, it's cold. I'm in long sleeves down here. It was like in the 40s when I went to get coffee this morning. So
we'll take the 40s. We jump at the 40s. It was 22 here this morning. So
when I went out to lunch, though, I was like, you can tell this guy is not from Florida because he has his top down right now. And I looked, it was like 65 degrees at that point. But I'm like, yeah, Milwaukee people would have had the top down at 49.
Yes. No question.
No, that's good. So you mentioned too, like, just about internships, you know, how important, because I have a lot of people that follow that are in school now and are looking to get into sports as a career. How important are, you know, internships for, you know, kids, you know, coming out of school?
I think they're vital. I think to be able to get that real experience is critical to having that on your resume to be considered for a job. I always like to tell the story of the last person I hired at the Brewers was an assistant director position, and we had 1,000 resumes for the job. And I'm not actually – there's no exaggeration to that. There,
right.
Resumes for the job. And my poor other assistant director, Nicole, had to go through all of them. It whittled down to me to, you know, to 10 to really consider. And there were certainly guidelines, obviously don't spell, have misspellings or, you know, those normal things you tell people not to have on their resumes. But we were looking for somebody that had put in the work, had experiences. It didn't have to be in baseball necessarily. It could have been in any sport or any, you know, if you were at a university and you're working in the athletic communications department or marketing departments or anything like that, those things all really mean something to me when I'm looking for potential employees, is have you done the work to get ready for this opportunity? So the thing I would always tell my interns when they were wrapping up their time with us, they would come in and say, okay, I finished this internship. What should I do now? So I would say, here's two suggestions for you. One, go back to your university and walk into the athletic department and say, how can I help? What, you know, maybe you're helping out, you know, doing something with the rowing team. You look at it, it's like, that has nothing to do with anything I want to do. I just finished, you know, working in Major League Baseball. Get as many wide-ranging experiences as you can, or get a job in the minor leagues. Because then you're literally doing everything.
Right.
You're working. You might be hired as a PR person, but that's on Monday. Tails. On Wednesday, you're out there pulling tarp.
Right.
Thursday, you're shooting the hot dog gun.
Yeah.
There's all these different things. And a lot of times what happens is you find that there's something that you are better suited to be doing. And it wasn't what you went there for in the first place. And at the end of the day, when you work in sports, you want to make sure you're doing what you love. Because if you don't, it becomes a grind.
Yeah, and you know, I always tell you, you don't want a job. You know, right. you don't want to feel like, hey, I'm 9 to 5, whatever. Like, because when you're like, I feel like I've never really, you know, had a job because I love it. You know, I don't count the hours. You know, I'd go crazy if I counted the hours.
Yeah, right.
But like when you enjoy what you're doing and you have a passion for it, like I love it. Like I'm weird in the sense that like I don't like to sit around even like on the weekends. Like I'd rather work than do nothing. You know, I'd rather be doing something. And you know, it drives my wife nuts, but but I just don't like, I mean, I don't mind if we have plans or we're doing stuff, but I like, you know, I love the grind of really minor league sports where you have to, you know, it's a tough sell. It's a lot of work, you know, a lot of different hats, but you hit it on the head too. What I tell people is it's a great way for you to figure out what you want to do. And like, cause you know, a lot of kids coming out of school don't really know. And so I think that really kind of gives them that, you know, that sense and okay, well, yeah, I don't mind working all these hours or yeah, maybe I'm going to go work in corporate America instead, but at least find it out then while you can. But, you know, some of these kids, they think that, you know, you work in sports, you get to watch all the games and like almost like you're a fan. Well, no, you know, it's the opposite. You don't really get a chance to enjoy the home games like that. So,
yeah, most of our staff would tell you they have no idea what happened during the game.
Yeah.
They may be walking, be on a concourse someplace, and all of a sudden their goal horn goes off.
Yeah.
Something good happened. Yeah.
Yeah. We knew there was a goal. Well, that's why I always make sure to travel with our teams whenever we've had them, because that's the only time I can actually enjoy a game. Because even at a home game, if I try to watch it, people are coming up and you're talking to people and you have to make sure that you don't, you know, snub somebody by mistake. And so I don't even try the away games though. You can go, you can be a fan and enjoy that. But you know, I'm competitive. So like in the office, I like to, you know, I want to be the best team. I want to make sure our team does the best revenue, the best attendance, all that stuff. And then on the field, it's like, you want the team to win. So, you know, it's definitely cool to be part of it. But outside of like that, what other characteristics do you look for when you're looking to bring staff on?
Well, I beg for creativity. I beg for people who can think on their feet. I want people who fit our culture, and you know that's important to me. You know, we're not a whole bunch of people with type A personalities here. There's a couple of them.
But need a few, you know.
Yeah. But that, you know, I think it's important that you know what it's like to be part of a team. So if you've worked, you know, if you played sports, that's great, because I think you've learned some valuable lessons. And they could be at any level. Because we all have to be in this together. I mean, I use the not to steal this from PJ Fleck, because I think he stole it from me at Minnesota, but that row the boat analogy. You know, we have a thing here on our wall and that says OAR. So, or everybody has to be rowing at the same speed for us to go where we're trying to go. And if somebody's not rowing at the same speed, we go off course. So it's, you know, ownership, accountability, responsibility, all those things have to go together and be part of a team. And people here buy into that. And it allows us to be successful in a lot of ways that we celebrate the successes together. And we work through, you know, the things we fall short on together. And if you have people who are willing to have the personality to accept all that, then you probably will be a good fit here.
Nice. No, that's good. I mean, and it is so important to have the right mix of people. And, you know, the style there might be different than the style over here. I mean, there's multiple styles that work and, you know, just with different leadership. And you got to have, you know, that cohesiveness to really make it work. I've had to make some tough decisions. Like, man, I had to get rid of somebody because they weren't meshing in that.
Mm-hmm. And, sure.
You know, it's like, you're just getting tugged back. So outside of, you know, work, what kind of stuff do you like to do? What's going on in Milwaukee, and you travel at all?
Yeah. Well, obviously I haven't traveled too far in the last year. I got a daughter who's a senior in high school.
Okay.
So we're in the process of figuring out where she's going to school, and you know, she's way smarter than me. So I just kind of let that go. She wants to be a doctor, and I'm fully on board.
Let's go.
Yeah, absolutely. But so, you know, a lot of the focus for me is family. Being around, my daughter used to play hockey. She played for several years until concussions knocked her out. No pun intended. But, you know, she played a lot of different sports. And so I was able to kind of enjoy that. And, you know, when you work at baseball, you kind of lose your summers. So right. All of a sudden you came back with hockey, and also it's like, holy cow, I got summer to do stuff. So there's a lot of enjoying what summer is about here. Summerfest, you know, which is a huge music festival here in town. That's a big deal. Our state fair is a big deal. Just being able to do the things around Milwaukee and be a tourist in my own hometown. That's kind of a motto around here. There's a lot of things to be able to do. If it's time to get on an airplane and go someplace, we've been to Disney a few times. And, obviously I've been to spring training, more times than I care to count.
So, where's Brewers spring training? Is that Arizona?
It's in Phoenix.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, spring training is great. When people want to come down and spend a few days getting out of the Wisconsin winter, it's the perfect time to do that.
Yeah.
You know, spring training is hard when you're in that job because you leave and you're gone for 7 or 8 weeks. And, right. You know, it was okay when I was single. Not so okay when I was married and then had a child. That made,
yeah, it makes it tough.
Really, really hard. But, you know, we have lots of league meetings here. Our league does a really good job of getting people together and being able to share ideas with each other. And, you know, we've been all over the country doing those types of things. We were actually supposed to be with Bob Hoffman down in Tucson last summer. And obviously that got postponed. We're supposed to go back this summer because there's nothing like being in Arizona. Well,
let's do that like mid-season when it's cold. Yeah,
exactly.
Who's planning these things? Let's go.
Well, we were in Scottsdale about 4 or 5 years ago. It was 120 degrees like every day. I'm like, okay, this why couldn't I go someplace a little bit less harsh than this?
Yeah. Can I breathe when I get out of the car, please?
Exactly. So, you know, and then, you know, during the season, travel. I spent my fair time traveling in baseball. When you're the PR person, you're with the team all the time. So I've been everywhere. I've seen a lot of things. So now kind of when it's time to go someplace, I kind of like to just go to Chicago and Rockford where I can come home after the game is over. Until the playoffs, and then I'll go in the playoffs wherever we go for as long as we go. So, you know, that's an important part of the job for me.
How long have you guys been affiliated with Nashville?
Predates me.
Oh, wow, that long.
It's I believe the second or third longest relationship in the league. Providence and Boston have been together forever, and yep. Hartford and the Rangers have been together forever. And then I think it might be us in Nashville after that. And we're grateful for that relationship because it's allowed us to do some things together. You know, they believe in player development, which generally gives us good teams. You know, they're not one of the wealthiest teams in the NHL, so they have to be really good at drafting and scouting and things like that. And there's a slogan that the road to Nashville goes through Milwaukee. So players who are being on their way up there will come here and spend a year or two on their journey to the NHL. Rarely does that get bypassed. And it's allowed us to have some pretty special players. So Pekka Rinne and, you know, Shea Weber and guys like that have come through here and spent time playing in front of our fans. And we've been able to build relationships with those guys that, you know, it's great when we go to Nashville to visit. And we run down by the locker room, and players all of a sudden will just kind of start coming out, and you haven't seen it maybe for a while, and it's like old home week. So it's really a neat relationship to have.
Do you get a chance to take the staff down there at all?
We haven't had that chance yet because a lot of times when we go, it's right
during season too. I guess.
Yeah. So, you know, I'd love to be able to do that. I know our staff, most of them have been there. Have gone for weekends, and you know, because it's an awesome place to go.
Yeah, Nashville's cool.
Yeah, and they'll, if there's a game, you know, their counterpart National Hockey League level will let them come shadow for the day and spend.
That's cool. Yeah.
Same has worked for me. I mean, Sean Henry, who's the president of the Predators, if he knows I'm coming down, he'll carve out time for me to come and sit. And he's a busy guy. I mean, he's the president of an NHL team, but he'll spend time with me, which means the world to me to be able to have that access and be able to bounce things off of him. And he's just as interested in what's going on here as I am of what's going on there.
That's pretty cool. It's good to have that support too. That partnership. Do you guys have an ECHL affiliate?
Yeah, it's in Florida, actually, in Fort Myers.
The Everblades. Nice. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So that started last year. And okay. this is year two of that. And so when we need players, they come from there. Yeah.
They've done a good job of having good players over the years. I mean, I lived down there for a few years, and I think when they won their first championship, I was down there, maybe 2013. But yeah, they definitely have a good organization.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, they're fun to watch. You know, learning what they're doing and seeing. I know that there's more they would love to be able to do right now, but everybody's a little bit a little skittish about going too far out on the limb. Right now, just in case you spend a lot of money getting ready for something and your game gets canceled, that's always a bad thing.
Yeah, I think they have had a handful of games so far at home, just, you know, at limited capacity, but just, you know, I'm friends with a few of the guys from the arena on Facebook, so I see their posts. But it's a cool city, cool place to go if you haven't been there too, especially when it's cold up there. it's a
good right. spot. For sure.
Any last thing on the sports biz side, what, any crazy promotions that you've been a part of or that you've seen out there that, like, you know, got a great response or maybe not such a great response?
Well, you know, certainly we try to be, as Harris always charges us, to be more minor league. So we spend a lot of time researching what other minor league teams are doing. In hockey and in baseball, even European sports, we're following what people are doing. And one of the first things I did when I came here was I bought everybody the book Fun is Good by Mike Vec. And it's a fun read, first of all, just about his career and all the different sports that he's worked with and the crazy ideas he's had out there. And the one that he always talked about is like, I wish I could do this. I haven't found the right, you know, way to do it yet. Was giving away jock straps. Because as we said, everybody's an athletic supporter. So, so we said, well, we're doing that. We went out and we marketed to sponsors this promotion, and everybody we go to would laugh and think it was hilarious and everything else. And then
nobody wanted to put the money in.
Nobody wanted to put the money on it. So, you know, we had some natural ties. We thought, you know, we thought we really had a deal with Fisher Nuts, and we were right there. I mean, it was ready to go. And then they backed off at the last minute. So we ended up doing it with a local company here called Hockey Haven, which is a hockey supplier here in town. And we gave them out, and people were wearing them in very walking around the arena, and got a ton of attention for that. And it was a lot of fun. It's like within our first two or three years we did that. You know, the hairiest back night, which is the grossest thing I've ever seen. You know, we had sure enough, you know, if you feel like you have a hairy back, you are entitled to participate in this competition. And so people would come down in the first intermission and go onto the stage and take their shirts off. And we had some judges, actually Jen Latta, who is now a ESPN reporter, she was just getting started in her career, and she volunteered to come and be a judge for that.
Oh my God.
Talks about how disgusting it was. And then we got it down to three finalists and brought them out on the ice and let the crowd judge which one was the hairiest. And they won. I think we offered them laser hair removal as a prize. We had a great sponsor for that too, but they actually took us up on it. But it was
that's awesome.
Yeah. And then, you know, in terms of stuff that hasn't gone well, I mean, you always have something that along the path just doesn't quite get where you want to go. But I think I blocked those out mentally. Yeah. We'll talk about the ones that I, you know, either we had a lot of fun with and got a lot of attention for, or, you know, really drove some attendance. And we've had the great relationship with the Brewers over time, and the giveaway items that they'll help us with, you know, are really nice things. You know, that's the other thing is, like, Harris has steadfastly said, we don't give away crap. Fair enough. You know, if we're going to give something away, it's going to be something that's going to either be a usable item,
right?
Whether it's a pizza cutter or a, you know, we did something as simple as jar openers with our logo on them. Things that people would stay out, you know,
right. Keep it around the kitchen too, or keep it around so that, you know, branding opportunity.
Right. So, you know, those things, and I'm, you know, then the tried and true, your bobbleheads and things like that. So, you know, we've done presidential bobbleheads over time. Every 4 years we do we have a partnership with wispolitics.com here, which is a website, a political website here in Wisconsin that I've got a great relationship with the owner of that company. And we get together, we'll do something if the governor's race is intriguing or not lopsided. Every presidential race we do something. And so we just did Trump Biden bobbleheads, even though we weren't going to be playing. It was great to be able to still do something. We sold a ticket package, of which you get a ticket voucher that's going to be good whenever we start playing again.
Right.
And you could pick which bobblehead you wanted, and we'd see which one ran out first. And that would be the winner of our bobblehead election. And I can tell you that the winner of our bobblehead election will not be inaugurated tomorrow. So, so just, you know, fun stuff to try and cut through the clutter.
No, that's good. I like your hairiest back competition. I like, that is cool. And right now Manscaped is like sponsoring sports like crazy. Yep. Like that would be a great tie-in. I just, you know, they did a little with my show for a few months, and but yeah, I saw them just, they're on somebody's ice in the NHL now.
Oh,
just seen it the other day. But yeah, no, I always like to hear the different promotions, because, you know, why reinvent the wheel? You know, there's so many good things out there that have worked in different markets, and, you know, some of it's timing, you know, how it ties into current events. But outside of that stuff, okay, I mentioned carnivores. Where else, if I come up and visit you, what are some of the places we might go eat?
Well, there's lots of them right around the building, which are great. There's a place called Buck Bradley's, which is right out. It's a literally diagonal right out the back door of our building. They've got everything. It's the longest bar east of the Mississippi River. So when you go out, walk into the place, the bar is like, it's just incredibly long. Yeah. And it's a really cool old building, and they've got really good food. And, you know, certainly that one. And then right across the street from us is a place called Major Goolsby's, which is a sports bar that is frequented. It's been frequented over the years by pretty much everybody. Every athlete has gone through there. Charles Barkley once got in trouble in there for
doing. You beat somebody up there?
Yes, I believe so. Yes. So
where hasn't he done that?
Yeah. So it's a really fun place to go. You mentioned carnivore. There's just a ton of restaurants.
Seems like a good food town.
It is. It's a great food town. You can get pretty much everything here. And obviously, you know, they call us the Brew City for a reason. So there's
Budweiser, though.
No Budweiser. No, 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 no. No. Molson Coors is right up the street. The factory is right up the street from us. So
how is craft beer in that market? I know that's been blowing up all over the country. How is it there?
It's good. It's good. There's a ton of microbreweries that are popping up. Literally every neighborhood has something different.
And nice.
It's really neat to see. And if you can't find something that you like in one place, just walk down the street and you'll be able to find something in the next place. Cause
plenty of options. It's like where I live. It's like, I'm close to Disney. So there's like everything and everything. I can never figure out what I want. So it's like, that's the $1 million question in our house. What's for dinner tonight?
Right.
So, but no, that's cool. Last thing. And I might've said last thing last time, but last thing, you know, I know the team's not playing right now, but as you, you know, get back into the swing of things, are you fully staffed? Are you going to be looking for people in the future? Cause you know, I've had a lot of people reach out to me on LinkedIn over the last month or so, just, you know, some really talented people that are going to be looking for positions. So I want to be able to send them anywhere I can. Once people are back looking for people.
Yeah, what I would tell you is we are fully staffed. All right, Harris has steadfastly kept everybody on since.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and
so awesome.
We kind of thought there's by the time when this all started in March, we didn't think there was any way come October we wouldn't be playing again. Then obviously it got pushed to December, and then it got pushed now to February 5th, and we opted out of playing for the season for a variety of reasons, which. Our fans have we're very, very transparent with our fans about everything that's been going on, and our focus is pushed to October of now this year to restart with a full season. And so we kept our staff on throughout all of that, knowing that in January is normally when we start our renewal process with season ticket holders, and you know, the getting ready for the next year would be starting right now. So we're full steam ahead, getting ready. I will tell you that in our league, there are a lot of teams that have had to furlough and have had a lot of changes. There will be jobs that will be opening up. I would encourage people to be checking all of the places they would normally check for jobs, whether it is LinkedIn or and I have hired people off of LinkedIn before. So that is a good resource. You know, the teamwork online, all those types of places. I would just keep an eye out for postings, because I think that not only in hockey, but I think in minor league baseball, as soon as they know that they're going to be able to get fired up, there's going to be a lot of jobs.
They're going to have to ramp up quick too. Yeah. So yeah. Well, no, John, man, I appreciate you joining me. It was kind of great to hear about, you know, your journey there and some of the stuff going on in Milwaukee. You know, I've been to that arena so many times, so it's kind of like a second home. I mean, it's a little cold, you know. I want to come up in the maybe like when it's like 70 or 80, so maybe summertime. But yeah. It's like every time I come, there's a snowstorm.
Oh, well, then please don't come back anytime soon.
No, well, let's keep in touch. If you ever get to Central Florida, please hit me up. And next time I'm up there, I know I'm going to Carnivores again, but I'll be out some of those other places too.
Sounds good. Well, please keep in touch. If you're in town, give me a holler.
Hey, podcast fans. Thanks for listening to today's episode of The Andrew Haynes Show. If you enjoyed it, be sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. If you have any questions, be sure to reach out to Andrew on LinkedIn. We'll see you next time.